go. Denham Brown for three. No good. By George, the dream is alive.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Christopher Jones back into the booth.
The crowd goes wild. People are standing on their hair. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Here I am. I'm back.
It's good to have you back.
It feels good to be back.
So what do we need to talk about?
Well, since I left, you know, let's first, I guess, address the elephant in the room. I got married.
Yep.
I went actually to Hawaii for my honeymoon the next day.
And I'd like to thank Petey Buckets. He came on, did a really good job subbing in when Chris was gone.
Yes. I thought Petey Buckets, I was listening to actually some of those podcasts on the beach. They're terrific. Great stuff again, Petey.
Don't expect to get to hear stats from us like you got from Petey Buckets.
Right.
We are nowhere near as knowledgeable, and we're okay admitting that.
Right. And the only numbers I'm going to give you are scores, and they're partially wrong and right half the time. So, but again, yeah, I've been gone in Hawaii. And the fun little fact, though, whenever I arrived to my hotel in Maui, I walk into the, I think it was the, what was it, the Sheraton, the Westin, the Sheraton, whatever. I walked in and I see this like light on the center floor and it has Maui Invitational written on it. And I'm like, what? And there's like a whole bracket on the wall. All the college banners are hanging in the lobby. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm here? I'm like at the actual like hotel that Notre Dame's staying at, Cal was staying at, Wichita State was staying at. Like all these teams were like legit there while I was there. It was awesome because you'd watch like a game at the bar, you know.
Did you think about going to a game at all?
I got there. I think there were only two days left of it. So like the next day was like the championship.
It'd be kind of hard set to like get your brand new wife to go to a basketball game on your honeymoon.
And we had like excursions and, you know, all that good stuff.
But either way, happy to have Chris Jonesy back in the booth. Today we're going to talk about our past two games, which was versus JMU and Auburn. And ahead to William & Mary.
I think what we saw in those two games was sort of like a Jekyll Hyde type season that we've had, where we glimpses of stuff that we've really liked, and then sort of what could go wrong with this team. And so let's start out with the JMU game, which I unfortunately wasn't able to attend, but you were with some other members of our Giant Killer squad. How was that game, and how was the whole experience of Harrisonburg and all that?
So first off, we have added a photographer to the staff. His name is Ibrahim.
Ron.
We call him Ron.
Yeah, and it's not like a thing that like we call him Ron. You know,
him on Twitter is just by searching Ron Johnson.
Right.
So him and David, starter of Giant Killer, and I, at about 3 o'clock, met up and headed down to Harrisonburg. I drove, honestly, easy getting both there and back. We go into
it's like two hours, right?
Yeah, 2 hours, simple. It was actually a very beautiful drive with the fall, the mountains.
It was like 65 degrees that day, too.
It was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
So I tasked David with finding a restaurant/bar to go to before the game. And so he picks his place, Jack Brown's.
Okay, sounds kind of cool.
Had to have been the whitest bar on 81. When we walked in there, now granted, I'm with a couple brower guys.
Sure, but I'm just saying that you're on 81, you're going to get white spots. Let's get real.
Right.
81 isn't sort of the Northern Virginia diverse sort of community you're going to find, but keep going.
So we walk in, and of course, like every head turns and looks at us. We all kind of look at each other like, do we continue? I'm like, you know, we heard the burgers were amazing. So we stayed, got some burgers. Of course, everything was cheap, enjoyed a couple craft brews, and then made our way to the game. The game, I think, was pretty similar to other games that we've already played where we get in an early deficit. Now, we were able to fight back and I think tie the game at halftime. But, you know, it's a little bit troublesome that we can't play a full 40 minutes without getting down before we really kick it into gear. And so that's something that I've noticed in the last two games and also in the rest of the season. But JMU, I, you know, the the arena looks like a high school gym from the outside. Like
still, yeah.
It
yeah,
legitimately, like I thought I was going into like...
They're making small improvements, so they did change the court. So you have a big Duke.
But it's super ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Like the...
No, it's
like,
hideous.
Now,
sitting, said it was good.
The sitting on court level, you can't really... It doesn't, it's not, doesn't really look that bad. But when you go up to that bird's eye view...
Yeah.
It's one of the ugliest things I've ever seen.
Right.
So it seemed like Roberts Hall. Roberts Hall, is that what it's called on Mason
You're
campus?
You're asking the wrong
No,
man.
On Mason campus. Roberts Hall. Rogers Hall.
That none of that.
Robinson. Makes,
Robinson, yeah.
So sure. It looked like that from the outside. Like I had no idea it was
sure,
a gym.
Sure, just looked like a standard building then.
From... But the coolest thing is the media row, the seats were right on the court. So sure. There's nothing in
but
front of us.
About,
nothing obstructed our view.
What about
great.
What about some of that action on the court? Because I think if anybody followed that game, we could pretty much just fast forward to the final 7 seconds. What'd you see?
So one thing that really blew my mind was how furious their coach got.
Yep.
And wasn't teed up, wasn't ejected. At one point, cops had to make their way over to him. I don't know why. They didn't really have to interfere, but obviously they felt it was necessary to go over just in case anything got worse. And he was upset about the call on the Mar charge when they were playing full court D on the final inbounds. It could have been a foul. I mean,
it probably wasn't
miss.
A good, it wasn't a good time maybe to call that call, but it was a call.
Right. I mean,
you know,
the guy did run into Mar and trip and like hit his chest.
And Mar did a pretty good job at selling it too. So there's also something to be said about a freshman being able to sell these calls.
Oh yeah. And he's your top. So you have your center at the top of your press zone.
Right.
I mean, that's something that not everyone can say.
It's a benefit of the small lineup.
Right. So also let's fast forward a couple seconds to Otis. Legitimately, he got into the paint. I think at the time we were down 7. He got into the paint.
When he hit Boyd?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're down 4.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
That took the lead.
Where he did the twirl and then shot it over to Ian. Ian did a step back 3. And then there was a foul on Mar where he was pulled down.
So, yeah, all that was pure insanity.
It was.
So, because Otis got into the paint, didn't really have many options, jumped up, did like a 360, passed it outside to Boyd. Boyd chose to take a step back to hit the 3, which was insane. It could have been a trap. Like,
right. It looked a little sketchy.
Can
I was
you just
like,
take
whoa.
A step back? I don't know. And then I was right there on that sideline where Mar was pulled to the ground. And if people want to complain about that foul of JMU fans, I mean, it was a wrestling match. He got pulled to the ground.
Right.
I thought that was a clear foul. He goes to the line. He hits his 1-1. And I think that we did take the lead on those free throws.
Yeah. And then from there, the rest is history because, you know, we ended up winning by 4, which we were down by 4 with 7 seconds, or maybe even more. Maybe I'm forgetting. It was a week ago. But either way, it was a truly remarkable game. But it is there's one problem that kind of came from it, and it's sort of this notion of that we're playing down to our opponents. It's like the same team that was leading Louisville with like a few minutes left in the game is somehow tied or losing to JMU late in the game. This is a team that's you know, at the bottom of the CAA. Why can't we seem to just blow a bad team out? It's always these close nail biters.
Like, and it's not because of a lack of leaders or, you know, if I think we got to be pretty happy with Paulson's coaching to this point. And I would call him, you know, I've listened to some of his speeches and I've heard the way that he fires his team up in practice. And I'd say that he's gotten his guys ready for the game. I think it's just when a guy's in a slump, he doesn't really have anyone behind it. There's no like, you know, if Otis isn't playing that well, you can't really sit him down. Your
right.
guys have to play. So even, you know, everyone's going to go, everyone's, you know, people are streaky in basketball.
Well,
so I think it's just kind of it's all just an excuse of the lineup still.
So we can certainly point to the JMU game being sort of a game of up and down. And then we obviously excelled right there at the very end. But the antithesis of that would be the Auburn game, where we did start very slow. In fact, we started in a massive hole. I think we were down...
I think it was 16 zippy and then 22-2.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
You think you don't have that start?
Yeah,
maybe,
what happens?
Yeah.
But either way, we battled back. I thought it was pretty respectable by half, maybe down 10, 11, 12. Again, we're not the numbers guys. But we did eventually take a 3-point lead, you know, somewhere in the second half. There wasn't that much time left. you know, we really could have banked on this. We really could have maybe, like, put that dagger in and just step on their throats and let's take this victory. But somehow, some way, we lost by 16.
I do think that their full court D really did, it really did confuse us a little bit. And you saw us rush through our sets. And we're not really a team that scores quickly. So we want to get to the half court set. We want to set a lot of screens above the three-point line and potentially get a like a pick and pop situation to find someone for an open look. But since they sped us up all game long, you know, I do think the comeback was a little bit fluky. Green hit like five of his first five threes and then went kind of cold. If he doesn't do that, do we ever have a chance to come back? You know, I'm not leaving with the same amount of optimism as some are after the Auburn game. I think we were completely mismatched all game long.
I don't think there's any optimism coming out of that because, yeah, we did take a lead, but it was completely blown. I mean, we allowed threes like it was nothing. I mean, they were just hitting threes, which seems to, you know, we can call it luck only so long until it becomes an epidemic on our team that now teams are just draining threes on us, maybe because we don't defend the three well. I don't know.
But. So I posed a question on Twitter, at @ByGeorgeGMU, you know, just asking, because from what I see, you know, I do think that we close out well. I do think that we close out with our hands up. I do think that we rotate well on defense and we communicate and we do all the things that should lead to us not getting threes drilled in our face all the time. So I asked, and Petey Buckets, a giant killer contributor, said, you know, he thinks it's because our off-ball defender is constantly sagging in the paint. And, you know, that thought, you know, it makes sense, but that's basketball. A lot of help side takes place on the elbows and boxes. So, I don't know if that's necessarily why.
What is it then? So, I mean, our team's just randomly lucky against us.
I do think that no matter what, because of our size, shooters are taller than us. And you can
size. You're going to talk about size.
I do think that people can hit shots over our closeout pretty easily because we are size. We are deficient in that department. So, you know, I think that's something that we're going to have to clean up. Now, would playing some full court pressure and speeding up our opponents maybe help and not let people settle down in their sets and hit open looks? Yeah, I think so. And I still wonder why we haven't seen more of it from Paulson, considering the times that he has implemented it, it's worked.
Yeah.
You know, it's won us a couple games this year. It's won us a couple games last year. We have the length. It won us a game versus JMU, essentially. You'd like to see Marr and Boyd and Kyer and these guys with a lot of athleticism and youth get out there and run around a little bit. So I think we'll see it a little bit more going forward. You can see what Paulson had to say about it in one of our videos on our Twitter. I asked him, and he said, you know, I think we'll see it more, but we don't have a lot of bodies, so you can't really tire our guys out.
Okay. All right. Well, so I think that's essentially, though, the wrap-up of the two games that I wanted to hit on, but I did want to touch on some players maybe after the break and sort of where they're kind of trending. So when we get back, we'll talk about a few of our players.
Welcome back, Jonesy.
Thank you. Long hair across the room, baby, she got that glow. I know you see me over here, so dance on me real slow. We've been going for about 2 hours, and I don't even know your name. So baby,
last week when I went down to Harrisonburg to cover the Mason versus JMU game, I wanted to make sure I was looking extra fly. Why? Because I want to represent By George the best way I know how. By rocking a Valachio watch. This one in particular has green hands. Makes me feel like I'm rooting for Mason all the time. You can find all watches at www.valachio.com. That's VALACHIO.com. For the next month, Valachio will be offering you 20% off your entire purchase. All you have to do is type in George into the promo code section and you'll get 20% off. And during the holidays, up until January, you can get 50% off your bands by typing HOLIDAY into the code section. So again, George, HOLIDAY, get you tons of deals. Check out Valachio.com.
Sorry, I just had a sip of wine. So we're back, and I think we diagnosed the games, but let's look further like into the team itself and sort of what we've seen from individual players. And I want to start personally with the hot hand of yesterday, Green, who, again, went off hitting five threes, put up 17 points. You were at the JMU game. You could even sort of talk to him sort of emerging. You could sort of see the potential. The Auburn game may have been the sort of the pop-off game. Do you see this as a trend, or is this sort of an outlier performance from a rookie, you know, a freshman?
So after the JV, or the JV, after the JMU game, I asked Paulson.
They're a JV team.
I asked Paulson about the freshman, and he said that Green was playing some of his best basketball. He thought in the JMU game, he hit a couple big free throws. He actually, I think, missed the second one, but hit a big free throw, handled the ball well. I think we're going to see him explode like that more and more going forward. Not necessarily because I think that he's great, but more so because I think he's going to have more and more opportunity. As Kyer almost, he didn't get benched, but towards the end of that Auburn game,
I mean, if you
he
look
sat.
At, if you look at the minutes, Green had 25 minutes, and I believe Kyer had 20.
Right.
So he actually put up a few more minutes playing his position.
And what we've seen of Green so far is that he doesn't have a fear of letting it rip from three. I mean, he hasn't hit, he hasn't hit him yet.
Well, now he did
versus Auburn. I mean,
yeah. Law of average says you're bound to hit him. I mean, he was a great 3-point shooter in high school.
He's definitely got the range,
and he was getting close. So
I do think, though, one thing I would critique about his game a little bit yesterday was you hit five threes. What do you do next? Do you shot fake, get to the bucket? Do you draw a defender and kick it to an open man? He like chucked up three more threes after that. You're probably not going to go 8 for 8. So what else do you
do? Tell that to Dre Smith.
So what else do you do to get your team involved or get yourself to the free throw line? I think still we're going to see the development of his ability to score grow going forward.
Yeah, and I think perhaps what does that do to Kyer? Might push him a little bit harder, and it'll bring out the best in terms of competition. But another guy I wanted to focus on that you had you know, great praise for after the JMU game was Greg Calixt. Even though maybe he didn't puff up the stat sheet, what did you see from him that gave you some warm tingles?
So one thing is that JMU really was killing us on the boards early on, and they did, and their big man was pretty good. He was
the guy with the dreads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got after it. He's pretty athletic.
Mm-hmm.
So it was obvious that we needed to counterbalance that with our big. So Calixt comes in. One thing I saw that he did very well is he hedged on defense very well. So hedging, basically, it takes place when the point guard or whoever's guarding the guy up top is about to get screened,
mm-hmm.
the center or whoever's playing help side hedges that, steps out, and plays defense so that the guard or whoever can't just get to the bucket easily. So he had feet to do that. And then Otis also on the backside played the big man pretty well.
Right.
So I just saw the communication between a freshman and a guard, a freshman big man and a guard. I was just really impressed with the way that he was able to take instruction, execute. I also saw he was boxing out well. He used his body. I wish I could say the same for the Auburn game, but I think he was going up against much better, stronger competition.
Yeah, so that's SEC blood right there.
Right, so it's going to take some time, but I just saw the little things. I saw him box out. I saw him play good defense. He scored 4 points. And so I think we're going to see him also grow as this time goes on.
Sure.
The one thing, you know, we might as well hit all the freshmen in this segment. AJ.
Yeah, I was going to ask, where sort of is he?
I'm bitter that we missed that breakout game, like that fun game, that blocks, yeah. The dunks. You know, we've been sizing him at this point probably too much, but I'm still bitter that I've been to 4 games now and haven't seen
well,
that performance.
I thought that you did allude to the fact, though, that AJ had a cold or was a little bit under the weather, so perhaps the lack of PT in the last few games might be attributed to that. Obviously, a bug is going around. I just had one. Everyone seems to have one. So it's hard to sort of tell if it's something that he's doing in practice or
but we're going to need more of him.
Oh,
we need
God,
his skill
yes.
sets.
But it's almost like kind of cool that he's like resting. And now when we have to play William and Mary, you know, maybe he's fresh. Maybe he's ready to go. He could step in for someone.
I do think it's about him kind of understanding his athleticism a little bit more. One thing that I've noticed from him is he's always trying to get a chase down block. But he's running so fast, jumps so high, that he almost takes himself out of the potential to get a rebound. So
yeah.
You whiff at a block, and then where are you at? You're like standing outside of the baseline.
Well, also, or you're gassed on the return, you know, and, right. and you can't get that fast break or anything going. So... yeah, that or his, you know, I've seen a lot of he has tendencies to sort of goaltend or touch the ball around the rim. I think he's eager and wants to get that putback jam. You know,
and Mason Nation wants him to get that putback jam.
Yeah, I know. And it is sort of just repressing that athleticism until he can kind of figure out the game and how to utilize that athleticism. So, yeah, I think that's sort of. You know, AJ in a nutshell, I think we're going to see more of all three of them sooner rather than later, obviously. But, do you see, I kind of wanted to go back to Kalix. Do you see him starting?
So the only,
or
the only
the end
way
the
I could see him starting is if Boyd or Kyer sat the bench. So Boyd,
you don't see Paulson retooling any lineups.
Not really. No. Because I mean, when has he shown that he does that? He hasn't done it yet in his last 2 years. He's pretty much stuck with his guys that he's selected to begin the season. Haven't really seen too many roster shakeups. I think we're going to see the same roster, but we will see Kalix play more. We've seen the freshman play a lot already anyways. I don't think things are going to really change. I think he is going to go with the hot hand. You know, you had Kyer cool off, and you had Green step up, and Green played more.
And I think that's probably what we're going to see more willingness to go to freshmen as opposed to just, you know, working with whichever starter is struggling that day.
Especially if this season gets away from us a little bit.
And specifically at the positions of which, you know, our freshmen can sort of, like, when Otis struggles, it's pretty much Otis. I mean, Otis is going to have to figure that out himself. But if Kyer struggles, Green is now sitting squarely behind him and ready to go. And I don't think Paulson's going to, you know, second guess pulling the trigger on putting Green in there, especially if we just need points quickly.
Yep.
He might be just viewed as that Newman, let him launch three type of guy. So I don't
know. It does make it, knowing that Green does have that range, it kind of does make me feel a little bit more comfortable with someone like Kamari leaving, because he was that guy. They are kind of similar. I actually think Green has a higher ceiling. But let's move on to Marr.
Let's
like Kalix.
I think we kind of forgot about like potentially the MVP of the team.
Right. Will Kalix start? I'm not sure. We'll see more of him. But Marr is a starter from day one. Never going to lose his spot. Can probably
pretty much
start
his senior year.
In three. Yeah.
He may break a Mason all time record for most games started.
Averaging 13 points right now. Auburn was probably his worst game, and he still played pretty well.
And he's going against like traditional SEC-type bigs in that type of
game. And you could tell, like, he would grab a rebound, and he doesn't really have that strength to go right back up with it right now as a center. Now, anytime you see him catch the ball behind the three-point line, he looks comfortable AF.
AF so, meaning advanced what?
Fundamentals.
Fundamentals.
So, but he just, you can see, like, he'll let it fly. He has a good shot fake. He's jab stepping. Like, he just looks like a guard. And so I got to be.
I'll tell you what he looks like. He doesn't look like a freshman.
No.
That's what he looks like.
He definitely looks like an experienced player.
Can we even touch on the free throws? I know it's bad luck to talk about it, but when was the last time?
He did miss a couple crucial ones yesterday, but he did hit like 25 to 30 straight.
In a row, yeah. So.
And he hit big free throws versus JMU. And I asked Coach about it after the game, and he said, you know, every single person on the team knew that he was going to knock those free throws down. It was kind of funny. I didn't address this when we were talking about JMU, and you can go and watch the video to see exactly what I'm talking about. You can find that at giantkiller.co. So Paulson is talking about Marr, and he said, not in my 24 years have I coached a player, a freshman, with so much poise. And it just so happened that Otis was up there on the panel.
Awkward.
So like Otis looks up, does like the eyes, does the shaking of the head. It's really funny. I would definitely suggest go back and watch that presser after the JMU game because you could tell that Otis did not like that answer. But it's kind of hard to disagree with. Mark could potentially be the best player on our team right now.
Yeah. But, you know, we kind of know Grayer and Otis. I mean, and let's not take a... I mean, we haven't even touched on Grayer. Grayer put up a double-double yesterday. I think back-to-back doubles. He's kind of becoming that Moore type of guy. You know, if we just even want to touch on the predictions, I thought that Grayer could lead the team in rebounding. It looks like it might go that way, unless Marr...
He's averaging 8 rebounds a game.
Yeah, I mean, he's just doing it all. You know, I think sometimes we focus on the guys that, you know, we want to talk about because, you know, no one has talked about them that much thus far, but it's not to say that, you know, Otis or Gray or Kyer or any of, you know, Boyd, we obviously love what they're doing. We just kind of want to talk about some of the younger guys.
It's the new toys. Yeah, it's a flashy new toys. It's the Christmas season. Yeah. We'll get into Otis and Grayer. And if you follow us on Twitter and Instagram, you see that we feature Otis and Grayer in all of our game day stuff. Our last interview, we talked to Otis about, you know, how he came out in the second half of that JMU game because he dropped like 15 points.
Oh, he won us the game.
Right.
I mean, that we could talk about Marv drawing a charge, but if Otis doesn't put up 15 in the second half, we're Denskis.
Right. So yeah, I think we're still very high on all of our freshmen, including AJ. I think he just needs to learn the game a little bit more, to understand his body. But Marr, man, I think that he's already exceeded our expectations.
Yeah.
We would not have picked him as the most impactful freshman, and that's probably a mistake on our part.
Right. But either way, I think that's kind of all we wanted to say about the roster and the team as a whole in terms of individual players. I think next we should probably dive into the William & Mary game.
Yep.
And see what... What was our old segment? Show me my opponent. So yeah, maybe we'll do that.
We'll be right back. I want to do something a little bit different on this break. We want to feature a current artist that we're bumping right now. They actually opened up this podcast. The band's name is Tops. They're an indie rock band from Montreal. Super chill vibes. Let us know what you think. Here's about 45 seconds of this song, Superstition Future.
Hello, my name's William.
Hi, my name's Mary.
And we're William and Mary.
And we're about to lose on Wednesday to the George Mason Patriots.
Oh, so you're still from their perspective. Okay, because I didn't know what perspective that was from. Okay, so let's dive into the William and Mary team.
5-2.
Not bad, too. Let's look a little bit into their peripheral stats. They've actually scored over 100 points in 3 of their last 4 games. And within that streak as well, they beat ODU. This isn't the joke of a CAA team that we thought we were getting whenever we initially scheduled the team. I think they were projected to finish near the bottom of the CAA. So,
I mean, scoring 100 points in regulation is insane.
I can't remember college basketball. I mean, look, yeah.
When's the last time that we've done? I can't even tell you the last time we scored 100 points.
Fairfield, and we lost.
Right. So let's look around.
Who are we worried about most on their team? From what I can see, it looks like they're a good three-point shooting team, which doesn't really bode well for us.
But not only that, how many times do you see a roster with five guys in double digits? I mean, if that's not, you know, even, you know, obviously they have a starting five that they ride pretty significant minutes, but their two top scorers, one averages 19 points a game and nearly 9 rebounds a game. Their second leading scorer averages 15 and 9. Again, these are two bigs. One 6'10 and one is 6'8 are their two leading scorers, and they could also hit threes.
And free throws. Like, look at all of their players. Everyone's shooting above like 75% on the team.
They're 23rd in the nation in terms of just pure offense. That's like my Petey Bucket stat of the day.
So, I mean, I think this is something that we got to worry about. Like, I know we said we're gonna beat them. That's because we say we're going to beat every team. But I am a little bit concerned.
When the two leading scorers are two big men, 6'10 and 6'8, and that have the fundamentals to play outside and inside, and that grab boards and can score, and the three other guards are putting up over 10 points a game.
I think there's some room for concern.
So maybe William and Mary ain't too scared of you.
But I would have to say that we have to come out. We have to do something a little bit differently because, you know, like we've touched on already, we've been giving up a lot of threes.
Well, it looks like
we haven't really been able to control the paint that well, and that seems like two of their strengths.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have a pretty fast pace game. I mean, they've been rolling pretty high numbers all year. You know, they've given up over 100 points, you know, twice. So, I mean, I don't know what to expect. Maybe this is a game where we roll up in the high 80s, 90s.
This doesn't seem like a game to skip.
Right.
Like, this seems like it's going to be a fun one. It could be a lot of scoring.
This echoes back to the old CAA William & Mary days. We dominated William & Mary back in the day. This even goes back to a... I did go to the CAA championship game back in 2008. Yes. We're getting old. Yeah. Where we beat them in the CAA championship, rushed the court, where we ended up losing to Notre Dame and Luke Herangode. So that was fun. But we did beat William & Mary back then. They've been a little bit of a different team since we've departed the CAA. They had that one player, Marcus Thornton. He actually made an NBA roster. So they're not really too big of a joke of a program. So this is certainly a team not to take lightly by any stretch. They do seem like a fun and gun offense. So it'll be interesting to see how Paulson has sort of like a, you know, what type of defense does he run with this team? Is he going to have to put in... you know, another big to guard a 6'10 and a 6'8 guy that are essentially right now dominating.
And you asked the last segment about Kalik starting. This may be a game where we see a little bit more of him.
We see that, but it's going to be Ian Boyd in charge of guarding a 6'8 guy, you know, and Mar in charge of...
We'll find out, because when you put in Kalik, you get to put Mar more to his natural position, and then you kind of allow the best three guards who are playing at the time to play. So I kind of really like that lineup. It's not going to be the starting lineup, but I do think we're going to see a lot more of that in this game because Paulson has had a lot of positive things to say about Calixt. And every time I talk to him about the freshman, I think it's actually kind of cool that we have played a couple CAA teams again this year.
Sure.
JMU and William & Mary. A lot of history there. I love playing these Virginia schools that aren't too far away. You know, a lot of kids, when they're looking to go to school, they're picking between William & Mary and JMU and George Mason. So I kind of like these little rivalries, and I hope to see them continue.
Yeah, and it's not to say that, like, William & Mary is, like, you know, this great team. They lost to High Point 100-66. So, I mean, it's not like High Point is – but I'm just saying as of late, you know, they beat, you know, Shenandoah, I guess, 103-54. They beat ODU 79-77. They beat Marshall 114-104. They beat Savannah 108-85. I mean, if there's a team that's feeling it right now, it's William & Mary. So, you know, we better not look past this team. I don't know why we'd look past them because I think we're playing North Carolina Central next. But either way, like, don't consider them, you know, some easy...
You know, and if anything, they're playing Ohio State next, so they might be looking past us. So
I do think that this game and the games that surround the Penn State game are must wins at this point. If we're going to go into the A-10 with any sort of confidence, you got to beat a William & Mary. And I'm tired of having to have like a fluky foul call or a step back three or green to go nuts in order to give us a chance. I want to go in and just beat a team.
Just
start
blow
to finish
them the, you know, TF out.
Just look better the whole time. TF? What does that stand for?
Technical foul.
So I do wonder, will we put a complete game together with this group? And it's going to have to happen before A-10 play. Why not Wednesday?
Right. And I do think that we need to build some confidence going into a Penn State game. And we do need a signature win to sort of say, look, we could run with the big boys. We could beat the big boys. Because thus far, when we played a big boy team, we haven't fared well.
No, not this season.
So
that past,
that
we have.
Louisiana Tech to Fresno to Auburn, to Louisville. Those are our four losses. There's nothing really like, you know, these aren't, you know, terrible teams to lose to, so it's okay if we lose to them, but you still want to say, look, you know, for next year, we're gonna have the right pedigree to take on bigger teams. If people want to think like, hey, we can make the tournament next year, like, or even this year, you know, you still want to have a pedigree of beating a good
this
team.
This is a two-year plan, Jones.
Sure.
Okay, we're not making shit this
right.
year.
But, I mean, there's nothing to say, like, yes, we barely beat, you know, Binghamton and, right. and all these other no-namers. It's
we
like,
can't point to much, but we could go on a little run here and build some confidence before A-10. We currently have the sixth best record in the A-10.
Which doesn't mean jack squat. Let's get real.
But the A-10's not looking too hot.
Yeah,
so
if you wanted to, we could touch on the A-10 now being pretty cold and to the point where I think we actually maybe get two teams in.
Right.
And so if you think we can get three teams in, you're smoking something.
Maybe. So I do think that this is potentially a year that we could have our best performance in A-10 play.
All relative, yes.
Right. Just because, you know, the whole league is kind of down and we do have good guards who can compete in the A-10. So I do want to see...
Yeah, we're guard heavy. A-10 guard heavy.
I do want to see us kind of build that confidence going into it. Before we go, there's one thing that I wanted to touch on. I noticed out of Otis in that Auburn game that he got frustrated at the end of the game. He got a bad foul, missed a couple shots, and kind of took himself out of the game at the end of it. Okay. It was almost as if he was pouting. And I don't put blame on him because the guy's playing like 35 to 37 minutes
38.
Per game. 38 minutes.
Yeah.
So
him and Gray are locked 38 minutes.
So eventually these players are going to break down and they're going to have mental lapses. And so as we're watching, I just want to be able to understand as a fan base that these guys have for their first 2 years and again this year given us everything they possibly have. And so when we're criticizing them as we often get caught doing, I don't want it to go too far because anyone who's forced to play that many minutes is eventually going to get frustrated at something, and it's tough. It's a tough position to be in.
Also, when you don't have that necessarily that support to back you up, you at times may feel like it's all on you. And a lot of Mason Nation may be looking to certain players on our team, you know, if they're not, you know, producing that given night. Unfortunately, it might mean the game because we are so thin. And so, yeah. If Grayer or Otis has a bad night, unfortunately, you know, it doesn't bear, you know, I don't know. It doesn't fare well for our team.
No, not at all. And so it's just something I've kind of noticed, you know, at the end of the game, just kind of us breaking down. The end of season last year, we kind of broke down. And that's why I've been kind of heavily critical on Paulson up to this point, because I just don't think it's acceptable that we have eight guys on our roster. Now, people want to talk. That happens in college basketball. And, you know, I got people giving me examples of Providence and other schools that have gone through a lot of turnover as well. But I think it's unfortunate because it doesn't give our players the best chance to succeed. Now, do they get a shit ton of playing time? Yeah. Do they get like they get to be a star.
There's certainly benefits of running an 8-man roster, but yes, one of the limitations is the fact that there's going to be significant fatigue, and we are currently 8 games through the season, and
they have a lot left.
It may start showing, but you know, a lot of people will sort of say, well, these are 18, 19-year-old kids. They could handle it. Well, yes, but you know, they're also student athletes. They're doing other things. You know, they're practicing nonstop.
Right. They're still becoming men. They're going to school.
Yeah. It still wears on you. And it's a long season. And, you know, when you're logging 38 minutes a game, it's going to be a lot. So, and to go off your point, though, I don't think Paulson imagined he would roll with 8 this year. I think it's a circumstance that he didn't want. Now that we're just in it.
And that's the benefit of the doubt that I'm willing to give him. I just wonder, you know, whenever I'm critical of Paulson, I get a lot of backlash on Twitter. Well, when do we officially get to be critical of our coach? When do we stop trusting the process? Well,
first of all, there are no set rules. I mean, if you want to be critical of a coach, but as long as it's a justifiable criticism that you could say, he's not doing this, and here's a statistic that shows that he's not doing it, here's in-game, you know, we can point to that. Sure. And I think there's now a small sample size enough this season that if you have a point that you want to criticize Paulson on, it you probably have enough to say, look, he's not doing this. And yes, Paulson hasn't won a big game this year. You know, is that a criticism on him? We could say this year is a warm-up year for next year, or, you know, a throwaway season. I don't know what you want to call it, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's a gift and a curse, because in his first year, I forget who we beat. I think it was in that tournament. I think we beat...
Mississippi State?
Yeah, maybe like Oklahoma.
We also beat Oklahoma State.
Yeah, so I mean, and then we went on to
Ole Miss.
And we only went on to win 9 games. So yeah, you got a couple big wins against good opponents.
And then beat VCU, I think that year. So like, yeah, it's like sometimes when you beat, you know, some of these hires, you think to yourself, well, they could put it together in certain times. Maybe it'll happen next year. But when you're not beating these big teams ever, like if we go out this season without beating a good team, you're going to start to think, well... You know, how are we going to do it next year?
Right. So I do, like, we're not going to turn this into a talk shit about Paulson segment. We are actually both very happy with him. We just on this same episode praised all of the freshmen that he brought in.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're 4-4.
We're butt size for Reuter next year. So, you know, I think at this point, right away, I kind of viewed Paulson when he said this is a 2-year process. I kind of thought that as of like punting on this current team. You know, like saying, you know, this team, we're not going to get that many wins. It's not going to be that good, but...
Yeah, I mean, I guess the verbiage that you're using, punting, would be a bit extreme, but I think what he's saying is that, you know, he sees this as sort of chapter one. You know, this isn't going to be, you know, don't expect, like, you know, the end of the book this season, because it's not happening.
And so I think up to this point, By George has bought into that plan. And we're going to watch the games and report it doing so.
Yeah.
Because I think we do believe in our squad next year. And if they can...
I believe in the squad this year.
There you go.
I mean, let's go.
By George is high on life. Just kidding. On Mason basketball.
Oh, my God.
And we're excited for William and Mary. You know we'll be there covering the game. If you have any questions for us, we're always in the post-game pressers. We've been making little videos after the game now, which we're going to continue. You know, just shoot us a text, comment on our stuff, and let us know, hey, we would love if you asked Paulson about this. Sometimes we're the only one in there, only ones in there, so we have all the time in the world to ask whatever we want to ask.
Instead, the only comment we get is, you guys suck.
Guys, excited to have Chris Jones back.
Woo, woo!
Married man. We're both married and getting old.
Merry Christmas, by the way.
All right, guys. See you Wednesday.